Hello everyone and welcome to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host Paul Trenwith, and for the next hour I'll be playing some bluegrass music and talking with a good friend of mine, Jean-Luc Leroux, from New Caledonia and from France, and his partner Amy Ames from Texas, and we'll be talking about all things bluegrass. But I thought I'd tell you that opening track is a tune called Sunburst, and I recorded that along with Colin Trenwith on fiddle, Colin Watson on guitar, and Alan James on bass in Sydney in 1976. It's a tune called Sunburst. I also played some dobro on it, and it's a great fun tune to play. And one of the reasons why I use that to open the show is at a concert I played in on Friday night with Jean-Luc Leroux. We opened with that tune, and I had a mandolin break in the tune for the first time. It was really good fun to do. So that's why I started with that tune. Hope you're going to enjoy the next part of Back Porch Bluegrass, the interview. I'll tell you now, we're sponsored by Shearer's Music Works in Hamilton. And if you suddenly decide that you want to learn to play banjo or guitar or mandolin or fiddle or bass or anything like that, just go along to Shearer's. They have the best range of instruments that you'll ever likely to see around here. And talk to the friendly staff there. They're all good musicians. They'll all help you select your instruments and what you need, and your strings and picks and music stands and things like that. So help support Shearer's Music. They support music locally. Now let's get on with the show.
Si tu t'en vas, repasse donc chez moi. Si tu t'en vas, regarde où tu vas. Surtout pas se méprendre. L'amour au fond n'est pas du cinéma. Rappelle-toi. Si tu t'en vas, n'oublie pas comme ça. Si tu t'en vas, je serai prêt. De te dire que je saurai encore te séduire. Nos sentiments ne peuvent pas mourir comme ça. Si je garde en moi le meilleur de ton souvenir. Je ne pensais pas me voir autant souffrir. Je garde l'espoir de te voir un jour revenir. Même si je ne veux pas refaire l'histoire, je sais qu'un jour nous allons nous revoir. Au fond de moi, il y a toujours l'espoir. Si tu t'en vas, repasse donc chez moi. Si tu t'en vas, regarde où tu vas. Si tu t'en vas, surtout t'en fais pas. Pas comprendre qu'il ne faut surtout pas se méprendre. L'amour au fond n'est pas du cinéma. Crois-moi.
Si tu t'en vas is a song from New Caledonian French, what do you call yourself? New Caledonian French singer Jean-Luc Leroux. And I have Jean-Luc Leroux and Amy Ames in the studio with me at Hamilton. They're visiting New Zealand, and I thought this was a great opportunity to talk to them on Back Porch Bluegrass. Mm-hmm. Hello, Jean-Luc.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Amy.
Hello, Paul.
So you can see by their accents that Amy is from Texas and Jean-Luc is... Are you French when you come from New Caledonia, or are you New Caledonian?
I am definitely French.
You're definitely French, yes. Okay, that sounds great. I met Jean-Luc at IBMA in 2013 in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Correct.
And we talked and found out that we both came from different parts of the world, and we still loved bluegrass music desperately and loved to play it. And we exchanged some CDs, and it was a very fortuitous meeting because... Out of the blue, a few weeks ago, I got an email from Jean-Luc, said, I'm coming to New Zealand, any chance I can get to see you? And yes, we set it up, and we have had a fabulous weekend. And
I confirm. It's a beautiful weekend. It's more than a weekend. It's almost a four days weekend.
It has been a very...
It's an extended weekend.
And we've played some music. We played at the Morrinsville Country Music Club on their Friday night concert. And Jean-Luc and Amy played and sang songs.
Absolutely fabulous.
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Great crowd. Lots of different music.
Lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit, Amy. You can speak closer if you like. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That's good. So I need to ask you some questions. Jean-Luc, we'll start with you.
If I can, with pleasure.
How come a Frenchman plays bluegrass mandolin?
It comes because of 1974. I started in 1972. And I bought a LP from the Country Gentleman in a general store in Paris after my studying. After it was about 6 p.m. and I saw this big store, and I said, "What's going on here?" And I saw this LP with the four guys: mandolin, banjo, and guitar, and the bass, and the hats, Stetson hats. I said, "What the hell is this? Can I listen to that?" And I say, "Yes, yes, sure." And then he played this LP, and then it took 20 seconds to say, stop, I want this one, but I want this one too, this one too, this one too, this one.
Wow.
So, and I went for with 10 LPs, so all bluegrass. Yeah.
Did you really? That is a crash course in starting bluegrass music, that really is.
And then I bought a mandolin, and I started playing bluegrass perhaps 3 days after.
Did you listen to the mandolin and try and copy what he was doing, or did you actually get instruction?
I took this LP. It was Jimmy Godreau on the LP, and I slowed down the LP, and I stole the notes one by one. Then I played this one, you know, like that. Yes,
it's a bit how I learned banjo. So to me, bluegrass music needs to be played in a context. So did you immediately find other musicians that you could play with?
Yeah, the same musician with who I played folk music.
Yeah.
So we instantly convert our music in bluegrass music.
And, that's great. And but with one major difference, you always sang in French, or did you copy the English songs and sing those?
Oh, at the beginning we made some covers, of course. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Covering the songs. Because we have no experience, so we had to learn. I'm still learning, you know. Well, but at this period, we had to learn about these guys and how they play, what they play, and what they sing, and so it was a long experience. And and 3 years ago, I organized the first bluegrass festival in Paris.
Wow! Oh, fantastic! Mm-hmm. With French musicians or with international musicians?
French musicians, yeah.
And so, is there a real following for bluegrass in Paris in France?
Yeah. But we found the same dinosaur, because I'm a dinosaur. And each time I go back to France, I find again my dinosaur's friends.
Yes.
And we make a special show each time. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
And this show is called Bluegrass for Old Men.
Yes. Well, I call it Gold Card Bluegrass here, because when you turn 65, you get a gold card that gives you certain traveling privileges, you know. It's free or cheaper on the bus and other other privileges. So you get to go. So I like the name Gold Card Bluegrass, and one day I'm going to start a band with all old guys in it. You know, sounds horrific, doesn't it, Amy? But you have followed bluegrass music ever since then, because obviously I met you in the USA, but you have been to the USA much more often, I think, than me, and played.
Perhaps, I don't know, but I always played bluegrass music. I made a break of 9 years, and as soon as I was able to replay, I did it. So
what aspects of bluegrass music appeal to you now? What are your tastes in music? Really contemporary bluegrass music or the classic bluegrass music?
Well, I follow the leader, if I can say, you know. So today there is an incredible band like the Steel Drivers, Grascals, and you have a lot of new bands, and I was the MC of two years in a row of bands coming from outside of the USA, and I can tell that I found a big quality of people there too, you know. Irish people, Czechoslovak people, Canadian people, and French, and new sounds,
Australian
new way of playing
people.
Australian people, new way of playing, and in USA you have some young people emerging.
Stunningly good. I am constantly amazed at how well people play.
It is a permanent renewing, you know.
Let's pick another song to play, and I think we went through a list before, and we've got track 6, which is Sur le Chemin.
Oui, Sur le Chemin, it's a song I composed on the road. Generally I compose my song on the road, and this one is just a tune. There is no words, it's just an instrumental. And so, and I think I had quite big pickers with me on this one. I have Mr. Aaron Till on fiddle, I guess, and perhaps Mr. Kelsey Crewe on banjo. He's a killer. He's 16 years old. He's just a killer. I have Mr. What is the name of this dobro player? I forgot it.
Different album.
Rob Ikes. Rob Ikes.
You had Rob Ikes on.
Mr. Rob Ikes.
He's like the man.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, okay. Well,
I played guitar, and so Kelsey Crew on banjo, Aaron Till on fiddle, and Mr. Mike Dunbar on bass, and Pat Mike, you know, and
they're
drums,
like the best musicians in Nashville,
yes,
Tennessee.
Yes, I know.
The best musicians.
Okay, well, you better introduce the song correctly, because I don't think I did a very good job.
Sur mon chemin, on my way, that's sur mon chemin. Let's go.
That's a great tune. That's a really great tune.
Thank you.
To me, it definitely has a European influence in your music.
Yeah, kind of. I love the. It's a minor. I play it in minor. The first tune I wrote was a tune called "Flare Station Breakdown," and it was with some taste of Russian yes. taste, you know,
yes.
and this song was played in France on the radio stations, all the radio stations. This first song was played, I remember it, 5,000 times.
Oh, Wow.
Excuse me, 50,000 times.
50,000?
50,000 times, yeah.
So you really struck a style of music that incorporated both bluegrass but was very appropriate for Europe.
Until now, and this song, this first song I wrote, was played all over the world, and
You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and we have in the studio with us Jean-Luc Leroux from France and Amy Ames from Texas.
I'm and so excited to
still,
be here.
They're still there sitting there. They're visiting with us at in Hamilton, and so we're talking at present. I'm interrogating Jean-Luc Leroux. Mm-hmm. Now, what I need to ask you is, you're using some great musicians to play on those recordings, but that's obviously not the only time you play. So do you have a band at present that you play with?
No, generally, it depends. You know, the two last CD are a compilation of 24 songs, and I recorded all these songs on the road with my portable studio.
I've seen that.
Each time you make the experience yourself, because I just recorded you for one song, for two
That's
songs.
Right. Yes.
You know, when I hear somebody playing well, I say, okay, you guy, come on here.
Okay, right. That follows on. So when you present your tune to some musicians and they interpret your tune, does that affect the way that you play it?
It could be. It could be, but it's rare.
Yeah, mostly you've
because
learned your part.
It's already in my head.
Yes.
And generally, everything is set up already. And I know exactly what I want, where I want, how I want.
Right,
and,
okay.
It's everything is in my head.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I have to put it on tracks and to, after with the mix, to arrive to the point I want. You know, so. Mm.
So what are you currently doing in bluegrass music? I mean, you're visiting New Zealand just for a visit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been playing in New Caledonia? And what are you going to do next? What's happening?
I play in New Caledonia. I played in USA. I played in France. I played in Italy. I played in Spain. I played in Germany. I did play all over the world.
And he just booked the showcase for the IBMAs.
Yes.
In Raleigh in September.
Mm. That's this coming September.
Yeah, he booked the showcase.
Oh, have you? Oh,
that
fantastic.
That was pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And have you got musicians lined up to play with you for that?
Oh, I think, I think that the musician will be the some good friends that are living in Gold Hill and North Carolina. And I played with them for a long time ago, so I think we're going to make something like that.
You'll do that.
I don't know yet what I'm going to play, but it is in 2 months, I have time.
Okay, time to think about it and work out what tunes you're going to play.
Yeah, well, I don't know yet, but the thing is, you know, I never have a rigid lineup, because it depends also of people with who I play. Sometimes, they like to play this one. Sometimes they like to play this, because they know, most of the time, they know my lineup, so they know what I'm going to play.
Yeah.
And so they told me I would like to play this one or this one. And I make a mix of traditional bluegrass songs and a mix of original songs.
Right. Yes, you do write quite a few songs yourself, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play some of those on the show. I just need to mention, while you're traveling here, you've got a really nice Martin guitar and a really nice Gibson mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
what is your Martin guitar?
It's a D35? 1966, something.
1966,
like.
Yes.
I think,
and your mandolin?
It's a young one. It's a 2000 Gibson F5 from.
Yeah, and they sound nice, and they are very nice to play.
Well, I played on your guitar. It's a Martin D21.
Yeah,
it's just a joy to play on this kind of things.
Yeah,
too, you know.
Yeah, it's nice.
So,
eh? But you played on my little Mando Lely too, and I don't think you're going to incorporate that in your show, are you?
Again?
My little Mandalele.
Oh,
You've played on that, but I don't think you're going to incorporate that in your show, are you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you think you will? I've actually made a little Mandalele with...
It's quite clever.
It's a neat little instrument with nylon strings, four-string mandolin, really, so that you can practice your chords on it, which I thought was a great idea. But it sounds more like a high-strung ukulele than mm-hmm. anything yeah. else.
I played on it, yes.
Yeah, a bit different.
A little fun.
I need to talk to Amy a little bit. Now, Amy, you've accompanied Jean-Luc on lots of his musical adventures.
I have, and, yes.
But you also sit there, you don't just carry the instrument. You write songs and you play and you do all sorts of music yourself.
I do, and I was a little later in life. I was in my 40s when I first went in the recording studio and recorded right. in L.A. Yes. And then I was on tour with my CD that I had recorded when I went to Jean-Luc's show in Nashville. Mm. And I went, wow, this is a great show, but it's in French.
Yes.
So I asked him, I said, can I change your music into English? And he's like, okay. And I did, and he was like, how did you do that? You don't speak French.
Mm.
And I Google translated it.
Oh, did you really?
But then I had to rhyme it and
you're
keep it
crook.
In the same.
You're a crook.
yes.
So then I didn't know what bluegrass was. But once I heard his songs and everything, I was hooked. And
I
converted.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun. So I go with him now and I sing the English parts.
Yes.
And I get to go around the world on tour with him and I just have a ball.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic. Well, I think we're going to hear one of your songs now. Now, we're set up here.
Okay, this is a song that Jean-Luc wrote this song. And he didn't write it. He said, I have this melody and I want you to write a song about singing in the kitchen. And I said, I can't do that because I wasn't allowed to sing in the kitchen or at the table because were you allowed to sing at the table?
Probably not.
Yeah. So and he said, no, I want you to write us the lyrics and about singing in the kitchen. And so I said, okay, I will do it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right, okay.
So, come on. And so... we went in the recording studio and I did, I wrote my part, I wrote his part and we put them together and that's what you're going to hear right now.
Called When She Sings in the Kitchen.
Yeah, and Jean-Luc had to sing it in English because I told him he had to.
Oh, I think his English is great.
Yeah.
Okay, better than my French. Okay, let's hear When She Sings in the Kitchen.
When she sings in the kitchen while dancing with the dishes, pretending a spoon is a microphone.
She lining up the cups, they are partly filled up, making them sounding like a xylophone.
Attracting sunlight like a splash of dew tones. He's dancing on the glass like a rainbow of notes. When she sings in the kitchen, she's so much a wishing that someday she can, she will make the stage.
The webcam on, she's on The Voice, and the audience there.
When she's down in the kitchen, putting away all the dishes, she starts reminiscing the oats that she sowed.
Attracting sunlight like a splash of dew tones, is dancing on the glass like a rainbow of the
When she sings in the kitchen, she's so much a wishing that someday she can, she will make the stage. When she sings in the kitchen, was part of tradition. Her hillbilly life.
life in the mountains back home.
Mama dig the banjo while Daddy plays bass. Oh, the kids join in along singing Denver Rose song.
I tread in sunlight like a splash of dew tones. It's dancing on the glass like a rainbow of notes. When she sings in the kitchen, she's so much a wishing that someday she can. She will make the stage.
That is great. It's a real life song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that written from real experience?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because when I moved from Minnesota to Texas, I was on my own. I didn't have my family with me. And I was alone and by myself. And so I wanted to bring that in, being away from the music.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you, like most songwriters, real life is your basis for writing songs.
Yes. From stress and from problems. And the more stress I have and the more problems, the better the song comes out.
I can imagine that. Yes.
So I have to maintain the pressure then.
Yes, yeah. You obviously need to work hard and keep the pressure on, so to speak.
Well, when I started writing songs was because I have a son that has autism, and he's 21. And when we found out that he had autism, it was so stressful, Paul. I was so stressed out that I had to go by myself into my room, and I would write the silliest, goofiest songs just to release that stress. And so whenever I have a problem, I write it down and then I work it into a tune, and that's how I write my songs. So it's because of life and problems and
Okay, that's great. That's a good way. Now you're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass with me, Paul Trendwith, your host, and we have in the studio guests Amy Ames.
Hello there.
Woo-hoo! From Texas.
I'm so excited
and
to be here.
And Jean-Luc LaRue from New Caledonia and France, and from most parts of the world, to be perfectly honest. You're becoming a bit more international than it's just that you happen to speak with a French accent that convinces us you maybe come from France.
You would leave me to the British Embassy?
Okay, now we've picked a song called Love Handles.
Yes.
And I know what love handles mean in New Zealand because I have known people with love handles.
Okay. So I write songs that come from problems, and my ex told me I was getting love handles. That's why he's my ex.
It's not actually a good thing to say, is it?
Yeah. I started thinking, and I thought, you know what? Men love handles. They have a toolbox that has a handle. They have a fishing rod has a handle. Yes. Their trucks have handles, motorcycles. Everything a man loves has a handle. So he should love my handles. So I wrote this song called Love Handles. And it's very interesting because I put a banjo in it. Well, you'll hear it.
I need to say that we've probably not had a song about love handles on Back Porch Bluegrass before. In fact, most parts of the body seem to get left out of bluegrass music.
Oh, I have one called Beer Bellies because I had to get them back because he was getting a beer belly. So I wrote
I'm not sure that I'd play that because that's getting personal. Yeah, okay. Here comes a song called Love Handles.
First to let your shirt fly, are you okay? It looks like you're gonna cry. No, love handles don't make you look fat. Come on, woman, can you handle that? Oh, love handles me just fine. I love handles, they're divine. Love handles me just fine. Come on,
my beer mug to my box of tackle. Without a handle, I've got nothing to hold, and I wanna hold you the most. Love handles me just fine. I love handles, they're divine. Love handles me just fine. But I need a man, not a boy. It's really sweet you try to pick me up, but I've got the handles in this hot tub. Love handles me just fine. I love handles, they're divine. Love handles me just fine. Come on, woman, handle mine. Love handles me just fine. I love handles, they're divine. Love handles me just fine.
Well, that's different from Back Porch Bluegrass, but it's probably a song that many of our listeners are sort of familiar with the situation. So perfectly appropriate.
Thank you.
That's all right. And just in case you weren't sure, you're still listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. Yeah? We haven't clicked over to the Family Problem Show or anything else like that. You know? Jean-Luc, getting back to you, I've got a couple of questions here, but it probably applies to both of you. If you're like me, you are gradually being dragged kicking and screaming into the modern era of records and sales and things. You know, when we started, I did exactly what you did. I did exactly what you did and bought vinyl albums. And then for a short time, there were cassettes. And yes, then CDs were absolutely wonderful. I never went through the 8-track things that we had that. CDs are absolutely wonderful, but now everyone tells me that CDs are being phased out and all your tracks need to be on iTunes and the various other online organizations that carry your music. What works for you? You make CDs or do you put them on iTunes? How can people find your music?
I do the two. I make CDs. And also they are on the streaming platform.
Yes.
I sell less and less CD in the stores, but I sell CD when I am in show, after a show, after a concert. And but the streaming is pretty good somewhere, yes.
Yes, okay. And yes, same for you. People like to buy CDs at shows, don't they?
Yeah.
But lots of people take the CD home and put it on there, whatever they listen on, and that sort of thing. Yeah.
But, you know, the modernism of music is now running faster and faster. So for me, old guy, I'm a little bit traditional and I love the CD too. You know, and I love, most of all, I love the LPs, because the LPs, you have a lot of things, a lot of information on the jacket.
The CDs that have got a booklet and explain things, or even a sheet inside that talks about the songs and things is to me important.
Yeah, I like sure
that.
Is. Yeah.
And I'm not really enthusiastic about listening to music on my telephone, but I know lots of people are. Yeah. So I just have to become alive to things. Yeah. What interest do you have outside of music? I need to ask this. Do you have a life outside of music?
What?
A life outside of music. Do you play golf or do
I have a life.
He likes to annoy me.
Yeah. Or beside music, I have a life, sure.
Yeah, you do. What sort of things do you do?
Well, I make sports.
He plays tennis.
I play tennis. I'm an ex-high-level sportsman. Yeah, okay. And I collect stamps. What else? I love TV. I like watching TV. And I like cooking, too.
He's a great cook.
We ate at my sister Alison's house last night.
She's the best cook.
Yeah, and Jean-Luc and Alison have all different ways of preparing food. But we have the same way of eating,
it looks like.
Real food. Nothing preservative.
Yeah.
It was absolutely delicious. And you know, when you come from America, our food is quite not the best in the world, very processed.
Mm.
So it was a delight.
Well, that was great. Nice. Yeah, so you do have lots of interest. Any particular interests outside of music that raising a family allows you
to follow?
Well,
my son with autism is a full-time job.
Yes.
So between music and him, that's pretty much
And then trips and
the, oh yeah, and converting the French into English for Jean-Luc, that I do that. Yeah.
Very.
And traveling.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Do you anticipate or foresee any particular changes in bluegrass music in the next few years? Since you and I started listening to this music that sounded a certain way, and different bands are developing different techniques, taking the music further. Outwardly, it still looks to be a similar beast, reasonably fast and dexterous and complicated and nice songs, but it is changing,
Well, I think, first of all, that bluegrass is going more and more commercial. That means that more and more the business is having the hand on bluegrass. It's the amateur side I think it's dead almost. You know, the no professional side is something that is less and less present. And more and more, the business put the hand on the bluegrass. So it's not, the spirit is not the same it was, because but you have always the jam sessions. You have always jam session in little village, but I think that, for example, when I go to IBMA, I can tell that I feel the weight of the business behind.
Right, okay.
It's pretty heavy somewhere. Yeah.
That is definitely probably a big change from the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, but the music bluegrass will be always bluegrass, even if old people doesn't like the new bluegrass, called new grass or whatever you call it, what you want, because people are more and more performant with their instrument, more and more technical. Okay, it brings them into some jazzy, bluesy, but bluegrass will still be bluegrass. But I think that bluegrass is turning to a music called more Americana. That means acoustic music, and it's a mix of bluegrass is mixing his style with outside style, and it becomes an acoustic music called Americana. And I think that the Folk Alliance is today included bluegrass, this kind of music, in his lineup. And I think that Folk Alliance have having the hand on all this acoustic music. So I don't know what will become IBMA. I don't know, but it looks like Folk Alliance is pretty strong today.
Okay. But the original bluegrass band, as we all know it, Bill Monro, Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, Chubby Wise, and Cedric Rainwater, they all brought their different backgrounds into the music, didn't they? And they didn't all come from the same background, and they brought their respective abilities in, and as they got together, that produced the new music. And every time a band forms, it's people of slightly differing backgrounds and differing understandings, and that's what makes the music, isn't it? It's always happened.
I was asked several times. I'm asked in a jam session, so, do you know your Bill Monro? That means that if you don't know your Bill Monro, you are not a bluegrass man. You need to know your Bill Monro. So Bill Monroe is a reference as the Stanley Brothers, Flatland Scruggs. I think there is a few references like that. But out of that, I think that bluegrass today is something else. It's not only this traditional music. It is the way of people are gathering. You know, people are being together, making music together, wherever they are. Bluegrass is more a philosophy, I think, today, a way of life, perhaps, for most of people. Music is the connection, but it's a way of life. Wherever you go, you can see that bluegrass people live the same way.
Okay, yeah.
It's pretty amazing, you know. And Bill Monroe said that the bluegrass family is the biggest family in the world.
Yes. Well, you and I are part of that. Yeah, we're in the South Pacific. And lots of people on the east coast of the USA aren't even sure where you and I live.
Sure.
And whether countries exist down there.
Oh, sorry. Don't be so sure of that, because once you met the people, they are interesting of what you do. And they look on the map and say,
New Caledonia is even harder to find than New Zealand.
Oh, on a map, yes, because it's the head of a needle, you know.
Yeah, that's so, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we're going to finish up here. I'm going to play a last track for you, and I've written down the name, and I'm going to have a go at...
I guess it should be Juliette, no?
Juliette. Yeah. I can say Juliette. Yeah. And you have written this song?
Yes, I wrote the song and the music, and it was about my granddaughter, who was born 1.5 years ago.
Yes.
And I wrote a song also for my grandson 4 years ago. So I used now to do something and to make a video, a video clip with that. The video clip of Juliette is not yet done, but it will be done soon. And these songs, of course, you will recognize the little name in the course. It's Juliette.
Thank you very much, Amy, for coming into the studio.
Thank
you very much,
Paul.
Jean-Luc. I've loved talking with you.
And
I've
been a blast.
I've loved sharing
the
weekend.
Thank you for inviting us anyway. It's very nice from you. We spend very good time with you and with New Zealand.
Goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to Juliette.
Après 9 mois de voyage, d'une immersion sans dommage, elle est arrivée au port comme une rose qui vient d'éclore. La famille s'agrandit et renforce encore ses liens autour de cette nouvelle vie arrivée hier matin. Ça sera pour nous un jour de fête. Les souris ont mis le feu et nous rendent tous heureux. Nous te souhaitons de tout cœur d'avoir beaucoup. Comprendre la vie avec tous ces petits soucis, mais ta famille sera là et s'occupera de toi. Juliette, 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 ta naissance sera pour nous un jour de fête. Tu verras que l'arrivée d'un enfant est un événement marquant. Alors tu te rappelleras de ta jeunesse ici-bas et tu seras le maillon d'une nouvelle génération. Juliette, 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 ta naissance sera pour nous un jour de fête.
John Luke and I both listened a lot in our early days to a fine band from Washington, D.C. called Seldom Seen, and we both really enjoyed their music. So I'm going to take a track from there, the Best of the Seldom Seen LP, and this is a track called Hello Mary Lou. Didn't start out as a bluegrass song, but it makes a great one. Have a listen.
By heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we never part, so hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart.
Well, I passed you by one sunny day, flashed them big brown eyes my way. Who I want is you forevermore. You know that I don't fool around, swear my feet stuck to the ground. Oh, I never did need you before.
And hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we'd never part, so hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart.
I saw your lips, I heard your voice. Lordy, I just had no choice. Horses couldn't make me stay away. I dreamed about that moonlit night, arms around you good and tight. All I had to do was sit and say, and
hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we'd never part, so hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we'd never part, so hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart. So hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart. So hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart.
Oh, that's some great bluegrass from Seldom Seen there, and they really pushed the boundaries of the music and yet still included all the ingredients that we all like to hear. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Jean-Luc Leroux. It was a lot of fun sharing some music with international players and just talking to them and finding out their attitudes about the music and how they see it and how they play it and why they play it, all that sort of stuff. So, thank you very much to all the Access radio listeners all around New Zealand and in Canada from Kamloops and the Voice of Bombay and all the Bluegrass Planet Radio. I hope you enjoyed another taste of bluegrass music from the Southwest Pacific Ocean. I'm not used to thinking of myself in the Southwest, but we are in the Southwest of the ocean, aren't we? Thank you for listening, and I'll have another program for you next week. Tune in and or get it live on your radio station or as a podcast from Access Radio. I go to Free FM 89.0 and then go as directed to find the podcast for Back Porch Bluegrass. I'll take it out with the tune that we normally start with. Why not? Or one of the tunes that we normally start with. This is one called Soaring on the Strings. And thanks very much for listening. Bye.